Lift every voice and sing, till earth and heaven ring, ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high as the listening skies. Let it resound loud as a rolling sea. Sing a song full of the faith that the dark past has taught us. Sing a song full of the hope that the presence has brought us. Facing the rising sun of our new day begun, let us march on till victory is won.
To the 9 Points Podcast, Bill Hill is in the house. Thank you for joining our show. We come to you with greetings, with thanksgiving in our hearts. We hope that you will be able to hope that as you listen to the show, that you'll be blessed, that you will find something that's shared that will uplift you, that will encourage you, that will educate you, or that will entertain you, or maybe all of the above, hoping that you will be able to be willing and motivated to go out and share your joy with others. The premise of this show is based off of Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, which speaks of the fruit of the Spirit of God and reads as follows. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Today's show is going to have two segments. The first segment will again include a Sunday school lesson. The second segment will just be general, a very general, probably brief segment with me. And today's scripture from the Sunday school lesson, again, each week the Sunday school lesson comes from Junior Way Quarterly. This particular lesson is for the quarterly for the months of March, April, and May 2024. And today's scripture comes from Romans chapter 10, verses 5 through 17. Once again, today's scripture reading comes from Romans chapter 10, verses 5 through 17. And the lesson for today is salvation for all those who believe. So before I go into the actual scripture, which begins with Romans chapter 10, verse 5, I want to just kind of give you an overview, a little perspective. The main theme that will be expressed is we cannot be saved by our deeds. We cannot be saved by our deeds. Faith is required. And if, as you listen to the scripture, hopefully that theme will apply to each segment. Today's my teacher's guide had 4 segments, and hopefully you'll be able to follow that theme being expressed and being pointed out in each of these segments. Faith is a necessity. Faith is a necessity for being saved. And I want to point out that Hebrews chapter 11 reveals, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So again, that's Hebrews 11. And also, this was, you know, Hebrews is in the New Testament, but this was, the importance of faith was evident also in the Old Testament. Recall that even before this, God blessed Abraham twice because of his faith. So for example, going back to Genesis chapter 17, verses 3 through 5, God was speaking to Abram. And by the way, Abram became Abraham. Abram was the name that he was born with, that he was given by his family. Abraham is the name that God gave him. But Genesis chapter 17, verses 3 through 5 says, The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I'm not sure. I'm looking in my notes. It says Genesis chapter 17, 3 through 5. And then I'm sitting here looking at a 12. So something doesn't line up here. Maybe this is verse 12. Maybe this is verse 12 within Genesis. But I do know that the Lord called Abram to come out of his country. I do know this. I do know that this scripture is factual. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to a land I've shown you. Think about that for a little bit. Just think about, imagine you are whatever's going on in your family. Think of your family right now. Imagine your family if your family was more poor than it is. Imagine your family if it was more financially secure than it is. Think about your family just in any capacity. Think about yourself, your own circumstances, and then imagine if you were living in different circumstances. In Abram's case, his family was well off. His family was well off. I don't want to get real political, but they were not wanting for very much financially. They were respected. They were doing okay. They were doing okay in terms of finances and making a way for themselves within the rules in the context of the societies in that region. The Lord came to Abram and told him to leave all of that behind. Leave all of that behind. And he's going to reveal where he wants him to be. It takes faith to leave home. No matter how many ups and downs are home, home is what you know. Home is what helped you for the first time in your life look around and determine right from wrong in life. Abram was called to leave what he knew. The community that he knew and go. And the Lord told him he will tell him, he will put him in the land that he wants him to go. But the first thing he had to do, he had to leave that. That's important. That's important. That requires faith. Secondly, this is still Abram, Genesis chapter 22. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. So you can go back and read Genesis chapter 22 and lead up to, you know, what led up to that point. But this is, again, this is a situation where Abraham was asked to put himself in a position to sacrifice someone, to sacrifice the future, to sacrifice the life of someone that he had prayed for, that he had longed to spend time with, that he had longed to see his last days, seeing this person doing well off with God. God asked him to sacrifice his son. He was willing to do it. The Lord told him because he knew his heart, because he knows the end from the beginning, because he saw what would have happened if Abram had have gone through with it. He revealed to Abram that his faith has resulted in the blessing. He didn't have to do that thing, that very hard thing, that incomprehensible thing, because he was willing to. It wasn't what other people thought he might be willing to do. It wasn't what he was thinking in his mind. It was what God saw was going to happen. But he knew that Abraham had to demonstrate that he had faith in him, that he was willing to, that he was willing to follow him. So he followed the Lord into, just like when he followed him away from his family, he followed him into a future that he did not see, that he did not plan for. And the Lord provided him. He blessed him. He blessed him beyond his fears, beyond the fears of what he was about to lose. He blessed him beyond those fears, but only after he demonstrated that faith in the Lord. So again, before I go, just want to say one more time before I go into the Sunday school lesson. Our deeds are not enough to save us. We must have faith. We must apply that faith in what we do. And it's not always easy. It's not always like a transactional type of thing. As a matter of fact, faith is often not transactional. I'll do this for that. It's a matter of investing yourself into something that you know is out of your hands, but having faith in what you're putting your trust into. So now going to the first segment, which is Romans chapter 10, verse 5. And this reads, Moses writes this about the righteousness that is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. There is no harm. And now this is, you know, that was just the scripture right there. Now, there's no harm in striving to live a holy and righteous life. After all, the law that Moses shared doesn't teach people to go out and do evil things to one another. It doesn't teach people to be lazy. It doesn't teach any group of people to look down on any other group of people, to be oppressive or cruel. The law did not tell those people to do any of those things. It didn't tell any of us. It didn't tell Jews at that day, and it didn't. And the law doesn't. Those of us that look at the law today, nothing in the law empowered or endorsed any of the unjust kinds of things that we as human beings do to each other. So there's no harm in and of itself trying to live by the standards of the law. But it could be thought of as a reminder that no matter how much we work to live excellent lives, there will always be work to do. Always work to do. If you are new to the Bible, go back and read a lot of Exodus, the end of Genesis and Exodus, and just read a lot of the different things about not just the Ten Commandments, but a lot of the rules concerning ceremonies and sacrifices and the way that clothing and when you can do certain things. That's a whole lot to keep track of. It is. It's a lot to keep track of. And if you were to try to do all of those things every single day of your life, from the moment that you first realized that those demands were placed on you, you can't say, I forgot. Even if you did forget, if you genuinely forget, you give your best and you genuinely forget because of fatigue, that means you sinned. That means you broke the law. Nobody can live by that. Nobody can live this life without forgetting or without just being so confused and frustrated by the choice we have to make that we're absolutely going to. It's just no way to live a sinless life, which is, by the way, part of what 6 and 7 was so good about. What's so good about Jesus? We didn't have to because he did. So let me go into verses 6 and 7. Again, this is Romans chapter 10, verses 6 and 7. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. That's verses 6 and 7. Commentary that I wanted to share is that by virtue of his death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus fulfilled the purpose and goal of the law that Moses brought down. By being fully God and fully man, Jesus was the one and only qualifying perfect gap between a holy God and a sinful man, a sinful creation. No ambition nor human deed could do what God did for us. God gave himself through his only begotten Son in order to bless us once and for all. Someone lived in human flesh, did not sin, understood and empathized with the common man, the law-abiding man and woman, the responsibilities of rulers. He empathized and he spoke truth to everyone. He didn't say certain things to the common man and common woman and then go and say something different to the leaders of that day, like some people do these days. The truth for one was the truth for all. Jesus lived a perfect life. He fulfilled the law, and he offers God's acceptance. When you believe him, when you believe who he was, his identity, when you accept his gift of salvation, when you accept his gift of salvation, when you do this, you're saved. When you carry yourself with the faith, knowing that you're not going to be perfect, but your faith with excellent intentions and being conscious of what is right and what is wrong, that's how you live a productive life. That's how you live a fulfilled, I'm not going to say productive, that's how you're fulfilled. Doesn't mean that you'll never wonder about anything, or that you'll never want anything, or that everything that you see is going to make perfect sense. That's where faith comes in. You have to have faith that when God is preparing us for more treasure, for more love, for more opportunities, our senses, our minds, our friends, our past experiences might not be prepared for what God is preparing us for as we follow his word. So Jesus paid the price for us so that we don't have to. Now, on to verses 8 through 13. Again, this is coming from Romans chapter 10. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the scripture, verses 8 through 13. Now, verses 9 and 10 are pretty straightforward. Accept in your heart that you believe that Jesus is Lord and that he gave his life for you. Then God will accept you fully. It doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. See, you might want to look at Romans chapter 2, verses 11. God will forgive your sins and accept you, Jews and Gentiles. I'm telling you, I know I could talk about 10 minutes just talking about all of the different reasons that people can feel more justified for the gifts and for the opportunities that we give compared to another person or another type of person. Our hearts, our imaginations, our genuine perspective on the limited knowledge that we can comprehend and act on in life can encourage all kinds of biases that would justify us going first or somebody else being more worthy than you are. It's a good thing that salvation isn't based on our subjective experiences, nor the value that other people place on the deeds that we carry. Okay? God loves all who accept Jesus. He loves all who live and are consciously doing their best to find him. Okay? God doesn't not love anybody. But I'm seeing eternal salvation by having faith and applying that faith in Jesus. That is what should separate Christians from the rest, from everybody else. The ways that we as Christians are encouraged to apply our faith as it relates to Jesus Christ makes all the difference in the world. So finally, Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17 reads, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ." Those were verses 14 through 17. I wanted to close on this note about the importance of salvation and the importance of love. When I was a kid, when I first moved to Beta Gardens, when I moved from Greenwood Avenue to Beta Gardens, I want to say I was like 8 or something, and I started going to my church. Very first time I went to choir practice for the pastor's choir, she was my Sunday school teacher, but she was also the leader of the pastor's choir, Miss Rowan. She used to always teach the pastor's choir 2 songs. We would perform 2 songs that Sunday. It wasn't every week. I think we did it. It was once a month or twice a month. We would normally practice on Saturday and then we perform on Sunday. The first time I went to choir practice, she taught us 2 songs. I don't remember 1 song. I definitely remember the song I'm about to share. The very first time I went to choir practice, I remembered a song, and it was so powerful. It registered in me as significant the way that it was significant. I didn't know something. It was something about it that was different. Okay. It was serious. The people I was with were serious, and I was like, this is real. This is strong. And that song was called "They Will Know We Are Christians by Our Love." You and I must be careful to not only share the good news about Jesus and what he did for us, we must distinguish ourselves by our love. Love is demonstrated in respectful and faithful acts. We as Christians need to live by these truths just as much for our own benefit as the world needs to get them from us. Okay? They will know we are Christians by our love. Not because we're infallible. Not because we are physically endowed in ways that other people are not, with strength and cognitive abilities that no other group of people will ever have or have ever had. That's not what the song says. And that's not what we're called to do. When you speak the same truth to power and the peasant, you are showing love. When you are humble to the peasant and respectful to the powerful, you are showing love. When you do what you know you would want somebody to do if shoes were on the other foot, even if the people around you are not inclined to do that, in other words, you're not doing it because you can expect to be have that blessing reciprocated, you are showing your God by bringing God into those situations where you're making those choices. I said it multiple times on this podcast. I'll say it again. Everybody that loves God is not a Christian. It's just, if you believe that only Christians love God, then I challenge you to find that in the Bible. I challenge you to go through the Bible and see anywhere where it says only Christians genuinely love God. You won't find it there. So, as I close today's entry for the Sunday school lesson, as a Christian, I'm not going to run away from it. I want to make sure that everybody knows I'm a Christian. And I want to remind people that God is love. And obedience to God and faith in God shows your relationship with Him and your relationship with Him and your strivings for Him as He prepares you for life and life more abundant. You will find yourself in the midst of people who share that desire and share that conviction, and many of them will share your same religious beliefs. And probably, if you live in a diverse enough community, you'll find some people that live by godly beliefs that don't have your same religious, exactly all of your same religious beliefs. But do they show love to you who's different? Or do they reserve some, hold a little bit back for those who they feel are more special? I know which one I want for a friend. And I would imagine I know the type that God wants us to be for each other. Because in order to be better, we have to be better. In order to understand what it is that we're being prepared to do, we have to be genuine in the relationships and the opportunities that we have now. So that's it for today's Sunday school lesson. I'm going to step off for a brief commercial and come back with one more segment.
Hi, I want to take this opportunity to thank you all for joining our family podcast. Being able to do this is both fun and work. Our family hopes that you will find what you hear today as both entertaining and comforting. If you do, please keep coming back. We know that with our family, some of the days have been long, but the years have gone by fast. Believe this advice that I know you've already heard a bunch of times before. Make it a priority to enjoy the present. Well, that is all I have to say this time. Once again, on behalf of my family, thank you for joining the 9 Points podcast.
Hey, welcome back to the second and final segment of today's show. I just want to talk a little bit about faith and blessings. And I just want to encourage everybody out there, please do whatever you can to make sure that you don't miss out on your blessings. Even if you have to reach for them, it's worth it. Some blessings you've got to reach for. And I kind of look at it like if you're in a pool or in a deep body of water and you got to do the breaststroke, you know, you have to reach out, cup your hands and keep tilting your head side to side. That's how you swim until you finally get to where your legs are under you and you can walk again. Some of our blessing, some of our treasure requires for us to engage our faith and to be intentional with our faith. Maybe you might be in a situation where there might be need to celebrate. There might be cause to celebrate. And in the midst of that celebration, or as you're preparing for it, your mind might start to wander and you might start thinking about how you wish it would go. There might be some aspect of it that you wish was different. And I'm saying that when that happens, if it hasn't happened to you before, but when that happens, remember you're supposed to, you know, enjoy your blessings. You're supposed to enjoy your blessings, make the most of your blessings, embrace your blessings, feel comfortable when you are in the midst of blessings because they are yours. And I say this because so many times I believe that if we get distracted with how we wish certain things would be in a time when we should be happy, in a time we should be thankful, in a time we should be growing because of the treasure that God is trying to bless us with. Sometimes if we're not intentional about that, about embracing it and being thankful, sometimes bitterness can set in because it's not how you want it to be or how you think it should be. There's no reason why this couldn't be happening as well. If we allow ourselves to spend time going down that path, as opposed to embracing and using our faith so that we can appreciate the present, the blessing of the present, then we could find ourselves being bitter. And bitterness sometimes leads to snares down the road. And that's just a whole complication that you don't want to go through. So that's all I've got. Sometimes we need to engage our faith to unlock or maximize our blessings. And it is really, really important. Enjoy what you got. Enjoy what you got, the freedom that you have. Enjoy the people that you know wish you well. Enjoy the fact that you are not one that goes out of your way to make life difficult for others. And you know, that's about it. Remember, you gotta work for your treasure sometimes. Even when you're in the midst of it, you still gotta work so that the bitterness doesn't distract you. But that's all I got. Remember, wealth is to be spent, treasure is to be shared. God bless you. Talk to you again soon.